Daddy Mac Mac, Daddy Super Cat, I make you jump.
Yo, what up? This is Chris Smith of Chris Cross, chilling with my man, the Altman, on Down with the King with Maxim FM Hip Hop. Peace. Yo, what up, Altman? What's going on, man? I appreciate you having me, man.
Turn up the bass!
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
What's going on? It's the Odd Man, and you've got it locked down with the Kings right here on Maximum FM Hip Hop. We're going to take a pause in the music and turn to our featured guest back in 1992, the smash hit Jump. Got everyone doing just exactly that, jumping up and down. One half of the legendary group, Chris Cross. I got none other than Chris Smith, a.k.a. Daddy Mac, in the house. What's happening, my man?
Yo, what up, Odd Man? What's going on, man? I appreciate you having me, man.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time, and you know, everything's cool at this end, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. When you think back to 92, and you know, coming in, well, you guys were like 10, 11 years old making music. That has to be some pretty wild times when you think back of now.
Yeah, man, you know, we got into the business when we were like, I say, 10 and 11 years old. It was like a really gradual process, you know. We kind of just eased into it. You know, we were doing just, you know, demo tapes at my homie JD house. And then, you know, from there we started doing shows. Actually, we only did like maybe two shows, man. We did two shows at a skating rink. And then from there we got a record deal. And then from there, you know, it's like they say, man, history was made, man.
No, so, kidding.
You know, it was kind of, it wasn't, you know, people say it was like, you know how people say overnight. I mean, we
right.
put in a little work, you know, it didn't take us as long as most people, you know, might have to grind it out. You know,
right.
I say it took us about a year. It took us about a year to really get our footing into the business,
right.
man.
Right, right. You know what's incredible for me when you think about it? Look, when I was 10 and 11 years old, I had no idea what I wanted to do or where I wanted to end up or anything of that nature. And not only did you guys know that, like, you did it well. Like, that's incredible.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about it, you know. When you're young like that, everything is it's just about having fun, you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
how it should be. When you're doing something you love, you should just – it should just be fun, man, at all times. And so when we got into the music business, we didn't think of it like, hey, this is going to be our career. You know what I mean?
Right.
We was looking at it like, hey, this is fun. You know what I mean? We'll
right.
go to the basketball court. We'll go ride bikes, and then we'll go to the studio. You know, it was all the same to us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We wasn't thinking, hey, time to go focus on our careers. You know what I mean? So I guess, you know, that kind of made it what it was. And we brought that energy to it. You know, it was fun all the time.
Right, right, right. And I think to your point, you know, we're talking a time where you know, it was still early in hip hop, where it was still growing and developing. And you know, I'm not sure everyone was necessarily jumping and going, I can make a career out of this right away. You know, people were, like as you said, people were trying to make you know, have fun with it. So it sounds like you guys did exactly that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing you say about people not really taking it serious or looking at it as a career. I mean, I would say that definitely falls in line when you think of young rappers, you know what I mean? Because at that time, young rappers weren't really being respected
right.
in the business, you know what I mean? So we kind of, I would say, you know, humbly, I would say that we opened the doors for a lot of young rappers in the business today, you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It's not really a new thing. Now all you see is young rappers, and
yeah.
and I think we opened the doors. At least we were one of the
right.
first to open the doors for young rappers to get that respect, you know. Because when we got into the business, man, let me see, Ice Cube was my favorite rapper at the time, you know what
okay.
I mean? And
yep.
So those were kind of the that was like the music I was listening to. I was listening
right.
to like Ice Cube and you know, no doubt I was listening to the local music and on the Atlanta scene, you know, because we had a
right.
lot of local music.
Right.
And at that time,
and it was
time,
still developing,
you know,
at that time too, right? The Atlanta scene
exactly.
was still kind of developing.
Yeah, the rap scene as a whole and hip hop as a whole was still developing. You know, it hadn't reached its level where everybody respected it and thought it was like real. You know what I mean? Everybody was still.
Right.
Some people maybe were still considering it a fad, you know what I mean? Or
yep.
just people weren't giving it that respect. But, and on, you know, on the Atlanta scene, on our scene, you know, we had like our sound. We had the local sound, that
mm-hmm.
South sound, that 808 drop that you hear
yep.
all the time everywhere now. I mean, now it's in New York. Now it's everywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess with technology, And, you know, with a lot of grinding from all the hip-hop artists along the way, you know, hip-hop became this massive thing that it is today.
Right.
And so, I mean, we were a part of it. We played a part of it. And, you know, it's definitely something that I don't take for granted, you know.
For sure. Well, certainly it's an opportunity that, you know, very few people can say they experience. I mean, when you think about the whole idea, you know, going on tour with Michael Jackson as an example, that's huge. That's no small thing. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, man, that was a big deal, definitely. And, you know, I remember when we first heard about that, man, when they told us that, hey, Mike called and said, you want y'all to come on tour or whatever.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we was like, I mean, we knew who Michael Jackson was. We knew the level, you know, we knew that level he was on, you know, and because even at that time, I mean, Michael Jackson, he's always been on that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we just two kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, from the hood or whatever, you know what I mean? And Michael Jackson talking about he want to tour with y'all. You know what I mean? We put aside all of our accomplishments. Like, hey, yeah, we sold millions. By that time, we had sold millions. But still,
right.
to get that level of, I say, that level of respect and that kind of nod from somebody like that. I mean, you know, that was incredible. That was incredible, man. And, but, you know, at the time, though, like I said, man, it was all fun. You know what I mean?
Right,
we didn't really look at it or, like, take it all in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just fun, man.
Yes.
To be honest.
And I was gonna say that's the best way to get into it. Like if your motives are anything but fun, and you don't have that fun, and when things go wrong, you know, you're easier just to quit and give up, or, you know, not stick with it. But if you're, you know, you still have that passion, that energy, yeah, I can see where you'd want to just, hey, let's keep having fun.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. You know, we never did. I can't think of one time where we said, hey, man, this isn't gonna work. Let's give up. You know what I mean? It was just always just, and I guess we, you know, somebody might call it luck that it happened the way it did for us, but,
right.
I mean, we can't, that's just the way it happened, you know what I mean? I like to think, you know, it was just a blessing that fell on our lap, and, you know, we were blessed with the opportunity to leave Atlanta and tour the world with Michael Jackson, sell millions of records, you know, before we could drive cars, you know what I mean? So,
it's so mind-blowing when you think about it.
and more importantly, to have fun doing it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was just fun, man. It's just good memories all around.
Do you remember the first time you met Michael Jackson, what that was like?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember, let me think, the first time we met him, because I want to say that we did the video with him before we did the tour.
Right.
You know, man, we did so many, So we did so much, man. I kind of, sometimes the timeline, I get it mixed up. So I'm not sure exactly the very first time we met him, but, but I'll tell you about one particular incident, you know, hanging out with him or whatever. So we were on tour in Europe with Mike, and I think it was like towards the end of the tour, and he did like a little celebration, you know, for everybody that was part of the show, you know, like the crew, everybody, you know, just everybody in the small little circle that was part of the show. Mike set up his own fair, you know what I mean? He had his own fair set up, you know what I mean? Like with all the go-karts and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, I mean, I just remember that, man, and how it was a blast, you know, just riding bumper cars and all of that kind of stuff. And,
wow.
You know.
Wow. That's hot. That's incredible. I can see where it's from. Like, no lineups for bumper cars. Just keep riding there forever, man. Like, you know, one after the next. That's great.
I mean, you know, it was definitely some good times, you know, touring, and some good memories, you know.
Gotcha.
We was like right there stage side watching Mike as he did his show or whatever.
Wow.
Watching him do the moonwalk or whatever, man. And we like right on the stage, man. So,
man.
You know what I mean? So,
incredible.
We was watching a legend at work, man.
That's it. When you think back to that time, did you realize how big of a moment you guys were in the midst of? Like, I mean, it's especially when you look, you reflect back now, you're going, wow, that was some big stuff we were part of. Do you think you fully understood the magnitude back then?
You know, I didn't. You know what I mean? Really? Because, like I said, we wasn't really focused on the accolades and all of that stuff. We wasn't like calling up our homies saying, "Yo, man, I just got a Billboard award." You know what I mean?
Right.
We wouldn't come back home and call up our homies talking about, "Hey, man, come check out my Grammy. You know, come look at my platinum record." You know what I mean?
Right.
So we could care less about all of that. You know what? The only thing that really mattered to us, man, was when we got on stage.
Gotcha.
That's the only time we got serious. And we said, hey, we're going to put it all out there.
Gotcha.
That's the only time when, like, I mean, we were having fun on stage, but that's the only time when we got focused and we went to work. We was like, hey, man, let's just go all out. We're going to put all our energy into it, 100%. That's the only time we really understood the gravity of what we were, you know, of what we were doing.
Right.
And we never took that lightly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We always said, hey, we're going to give it all. We're going to give it our all. We're going to rock the show, man.
That's it.
Can remember one of the first shows we did, and it was in New York. And it was like in this small little club. It was real tight, man. And I remember, because, you know, New York is like, you know how they say, man, if you make it in New York, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You
get anywhere.
Rock it anywhere or whatever. And that's true, man, you know what I'm saying? Because when we got up on that stage, man, in New York, you know, we in this small little club, you know what I'm saying, where they banging out all just some hardcore hip-hop. And here we are, two little kids, right, talking about we about to get up here on stage and get some respect from this audience. And sure enough, man, we had them. We had them, man.
Wow.
We had them rocking.
Wow.
And I think that kind of gave us that confidence. You know, slowly we started getting that confidence that, hey, man, we can do this. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about Jump. Incredible, incredible song. Legendary. I mean, that track, you know, when you think about sort of how it sort of infuses so much energy in people and making that track, what was that whole experience like?
I remember, I think Chris might have got a call from JD, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris got a call one night. JD played the song for him. I'm not sure if he played the whole song or if he played a piece of it, if I'm not mistaken. And that's when, you know, Chris, I think he heard it over the phone. I want to say that's how it played out, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we just went to the studio. I think we recorded the first version at JD's house, and then we had to re-record it when we went to Philly. And we basically re-recorded the whole album, I want to say, when we went to Philly, just to get the sound
right
or whatever. And but as far as recording it, if you're saying, like, did we know it was going to be the song that it was? I can't really say that we knew that it was
gotcha.
Just going to be the massive thing that it was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because we felt like the whole album was just great. We enjoyed the whole album. And I think the song, I want to say the song that got us the record deal was this song called Little Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
That's on the album. I think that's the song that the exec first heard, and it got the attention of the executives. And then obviously we went with the right record.
Sure. No,
you know
you guys did that. Totally crossed out was the name of that for a first album. The whole backwards thing, when did that come into play? Is that something that you guys had developed, or, you know, wearing your clothes backwards, or was that something that was sort of handed to you, said, try this out?
Nah, I mean, we was always into fashion, even before Crisscross. Fashion was, like, a big thing for us. You know, we was all about sneakers and wearing fresh sneakers. That was just a daily thing for us. And that's actually how we met JD, because I think it was on a school night. Chris, he wanted some sneakers, and somehow we had to convince his mom to take him to go buy some sneakers. And so she decided she would take us to the mall, and Chris picked up some sneakers or whatever. As we were on our way out the mall, we ran into JD, and, you know, he thought we was a group already. He thought we was like some rappers. I mean, we may have been dressed alike. I can't remember.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I know we was fresh, so you know what I mean? Maybe that's what caught his attention. I can't remember exactly what we was sporting at the time, but I know we was fresh. And so to answer your question, I mean, fashion was a big thing. And the whole totally crossed out, throwing your clothes on backwards or whatever. JD, one day he had just came through Chris' house or whatever with his pants on backwards. And just telling us, you know, check this out, check this style out. And at the time, you know, that was another local Atlanta group, ABC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and they were wearing their clothes inside out, you know. So
another bad creation, I believe that's what they were.
Yeah, and they were wearing their clothes inside out.
Right.
They were flipping their hats inside out. So, you know, we had to do our own thing. So we flipped ours around backwards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we was always competitive like that.
Sure.
Like, we always wanted to compete with whoever was on our level as far as age or whatever. And so that was just our own way of separating ourselves from everybody. You know, we started braiding our hair up or whatever before any young kids was really doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting our lines in our eyebrows and getting designs cut in our head, you know, that was like
that was the style, man. The style.
And I mean, hey, it still is, man.
It's just
one circle, man. Everything come back around. You know what I mean?
When I started
seeing people with their clothes on backwards on a regular basis.
That's funny. That is funny. How about this, Chris? Let's take like a pause in our combo here, and we mentioned the track Jump. Let's play the remix featuring Supercat, and personally, that's probably my favorite one. I think that I mean, the song was big as is, and you add, you know, an artist of his caliber to that. That's got to be big. What was that like working with him on that remix?
Oh yeah, Supercat. He was good people, man. We really enjoyed hanging out with Supercat. He came down to Atlanta one time when we were. Because we put him on another record. We put him on All Right.
Yes.
And I think that's when he came down to Atlanta. So we actually had him. We had him at the very mall, man, where it all started. You know, everything jumped off when we met JD at Greenbrier Mall. And,
right.
So we brought Supercat down to work on All Right or to shoot the video. We shot some of the video scenes around Greenbrier Mall or whatever. And, you know, it was just all good times, man. And working with Supercat
cool.
was definitely a privilege.
No doubt. I mean, he's a legend in his own right. So let's take a pause here. To our listeners, here's Jump with the remix, Supercat on Down with the Kings.
Daddy Mac, Daddy Supercat, I make you jump. Special request to all the uptown man. A special request to all downtown man. You live a Georgia or down a Washington. If you live a California or over Cleveland. Tell him Mr. Cat, him on the mic in a man. And anywhere we go, I'm Mr. Session happy. Say Mr. Man, a Paul man. Tell them Mr. Man, I'm the juvenile gang. Let them know they done and they dog are done. Keep the young girl in bubble in motion. Girl rolling belly and a kick up bottom. Say pushing out, put on, you're pushing out man. Let them know the session is a piram. New York, man, in Washington. Man, you come from California or you live in Cleveland. Cross anytime and I come and see the session of the cock and I'm seed like a milk out of glass. I'm a special
special request to all the uptown man. A special request to all downtown man. You live a Georgia or down a Washington. If you live a California or over Cleveland. Tell them Mr. Cassie, man, the mic in a man. And anywhere we go, Mr. Session of it. Say Mr. Man, and Mr. Man, and Mr. Man, and Paul Man. Tell them Mr. Man, and the juvenile gang. Make them know the dance and the dog are gone. Keep the young girl in bubble in motion. Girl rolling belly and a kick out bottom. Say pushing out foot and you're pushing out man. Make them know the session is a ram jam. You live in New York or in Washington. Man, you come from California or you live in Cleveland. Tell them Chris Cross and the juvenile gang. Along with Mr. Cat and the dog are gone. Anywhere we come, Mr. Session of a ram. Happy and you love it if you put up your one. A man come make we hear it from the uptown man. A man come make we hear it from the man at home.
This and that is that crisscross ain't coming off wet. And for all y'all suckers that don't know, check it out. Some of them try to rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this. Some of them try to rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this. Some of them try to rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this. Some of them try to rhyme, but they can't. Cause I'm the make it, make it, make it, make it, Mac Daddy. The make it, make it, make it, make it, Mac. The make it, make it, make it, make it, Mac Daddy. The make it, make it, make it, make it, Mac. I make you wanna
jump,
the Mac Daddy make you
jump.
Back, we are here on Down with the Kings. It's the Odd Man, and I'm joined by Chris Smith, a.k.a. Daddy Mac of Chris Cross. We just heard Super Cat remix of Jump. We talked early before the break how much fun that was. Listen to it again. Still a lot of fun, a lot of energy. I want to touch on your partner, Chris Kelly. He passed away a couple years ago, sadly and tragically. I've read and seen past interviews you've done. You sort of talked about how much of an impact that had on you. And I wouldn't mind if you wouldn't mind. Would like to get you touch on again that what losing your childhood friend, what that was like, because you guys came up together and did so much together, and now you don't have that person. That's got to be tough.
It's like not a day go by, man, that you wake up every day and you count your blessings, man, and you think about all the opportunities you had. And you think about those important people in your life, you know, the people that mean the most to you, people that's been there, you know, always. And no doubt, man, Chris, he was definitely, he was my best friend. We met when we was in first grade. So I know he was basically like a brother, you know what I'm saying? So every opportunity in life, we were sharing it with each other, you know what I mean? And then, you know, for us to get into the music business and that be a part of our life, and for us to like make such a stamp in history in the music business and be remembered the way we are, that was something that we share also, you know what I'm saying? Not only do we have childhood memories, but we also have a legacy in the music business. So those are the things that basically kind of keep me going, or I kind of reflect on when I do reminisce and think about my homie. So definitely, man, it's just something that, man, you just have to one day at a time, man, honestly.
Right.
And that's all you can do, really.
Sure.
Just take it one day at a time. And that's it, man. You know, we had good times, good memories. Yeah, man.
Well, and I think the key, as you said, is, you know, bearing in mind the good times and good memories, and I think a big part of about this as well is continuing on with their lives and the fact that you've continued on in the music business, because that's probably what he would have wanted you to do, and you've done that. So I thought maybe that's a nice segue into, you know, what you're doing now music wise, because you're working on some stuff. You're in the studio, right, Chris?
Yeah, right now I'm in the studio recording. And definitely, that's one of my passions, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's like drinking water, man. It's like you feed me, you know what I'm saying?
I love it.
Yeah, man. So right now I'm in the studio recording, and
right.
I don't have a set date for when I'm going to release something new. Every now and then, though, I'll drop something here and there.
Right.
Just to get a feel. And so I drop a few songs on iTunes and just recording, man. Just getting
nice.
getting vibes flowing in the studio.
Nice.
I just completed a short film. And,
Gas Clutch. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, Gas Clutch. So basically what Gas Clutch is the whole idea is about being able to adjust to whatever situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, though, you got to keep it moving. You got to stay focused. You got to keep moving. So that's kind of the whole concept of what Gas Clutch is. You know, I just dedicated it to, like, anybody that's going through any situation in life. It could be anything, man. And, you know, it's just kind of like a motivation type thing for somebody to watch, somebody to hear, to tell them, man, you know, just, you know, you just got to adapt, you got to adjust, but you got to keep moving.
That's it. And let's be clear, you directed and produced this. This wasn't just something you stood on the sidelines. You were directly involved with this.
Yeah, from the editing all the way up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, wrote the whole script, edited it. And, you know, so definitely that's something that I've put my foot in and starting to do more of. So expect more short films.
Nice. And what's really cool about that is when you think about sort of where it all started, it was the music. And, you know, you get in the music business and all of a sudden it opens these new avenues and new doors for you. Things you probably didn't ever see yourself, you imagine yourself doing, now you're doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely can't say that when we were 10 and 11 years old, we didn't envision that, hey, we was going to make a career. Like I said before, we didn't think that this would be a career. And it just slowly progressed into something that became a passion, became something that we became a part of our life. And you know, now today, music is a big part of my life. And now I'm getting into film. And in some ways, you know, they kind of play off of each other. Because,
they do, yep.
You know, you're writing a song, you're writing a script, you know, no matter what, you're telling a story. And it's all about telling a story, you know.
Right.
You want the song to take you somewhere. You want the film to take you somewhere. You know what I mean? Wherever that might be, it might be something that's just, you know, inspiring you, something that's getting you off your feet, you know, making you party or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's all in the same thing.
And it's interesting because, you know, so you talked about, you mentioned Ice Cube earlier. I think those are some of the reasons why he's done so well in the movie side of things, because we all know how much of a great songwriter he is. I mean, you know, he's written pretty much the whole NWA first album. And you think about him parlaying that into the music industry. So it just makes sense. So to your point, I think you're bang on for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why Ice Cube was one of my favorite, if not my favorite rapper when I was 10 and 11 years old. He was like a lyricist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, from all his albums, all his albums, man, I had all of them. America's Most Wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I had Death Certificate, just all his albums, man. He was a good storyteller. If you listen to his lyrics and you listen to his songs, he was always telling his stories, and he was really socially minded. You know what I mean? And
yes, he was.
So I think that's what got me. You know what I mean? His lyrics or whatever.
Gotcha.
It wasn't so much the beats.
Mm-hmm.
I had good beats, but it was the lyrics that got me.
What he said, for sure. Hey, you talked about, you know, the experience of meeting Michael and being around him. Were there any other sort of, you know, artists back in that time that you met that maybe you had a lot of respect for and they showed you some love? Do you remember any? I mean, Ice Cube, did you get a chance to, you know, express your appreciation for him or any other artists?
Yeah, I definitely had the opportunity to kick it with Cube.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, I was still looking at him like that kid that was growing up.
Right.
I was, you know what I'm saying? I was like, hey, man, that's Ice Cube, man. You know what I mean? Like, even though I had songs, even though at the time we had songs on top of the charts, you know what I mean?
Right.
But still, I was like, hey, that's Ice Cube. I can't believe this, man. You know what I mean? But as far as anybody else I may have met, let me see. Man, we met some of everybody, man. To be honest, man, the music business is such a small circle. You're meeting people every day, no matter where you go. You're always running into people. And go to the studio, you bump into somebody. You know, any show you do, you're bumping into somebody. So it's not really that big of a – it's a small circle. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Well, it's a small circle, and again, a blessing for you definitely to be a part of. Hey, Chris, man, I appreciate you hanging out with us here on Down with the Kings. It's incredible to, you know, watch your career and, you know, watch you still out there doing your thing. And certainly inspiring, and you know, like you said, what you did for inspiring the generation of younger rappers that, hey, if they could do that at 10 or 11 years old, you know, why can't I? And we've certainly seen that over the years, a number of, you know, young kids rolling through doing their thing, and I think you had a lot to do with that, like you said. So congratulations.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. Definitely, if, you know, if that's one thing that I know, that one legacy we have left behind, is that when we started, when we came out, our music was about having fun, you know what I mean? And, yeah, we had those songs on our album, like Little Boys in the Hood, where we was talking about our environment and, you know, what we were surrounded by, all the negativity, you know what I'm saying? We were talking about those things on the song It's a Shame, you know what I mean? Even on our first album, man, we was talking about those things. And And nothing has really changed. You know, young kids, they still growing up in tough environments where they seeing things every day that they have to face and they have to grow up. You know, just different growing pains that young kids is having, you know what I'm saying? But all in all, you know what I mean, we found a way to bottle all that up and have fun doing it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, with a song like Jump that's heard around the world, it's reaching kids, it's reaching the youth, you know what I'm saying? Still to this day, man. So that's one legacy that I'm proud of. And if any kids out there, you know what I'm saying, that's thinking about getting into the music business, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, do it with your heart, do what you love. You know what I'm saying? Stay in school. And you know what I'm saying? If it's meant to be, it'll happen for you. You know what I mean?
That's it.
That would be
that's
my
it.
Message, you know, when it comes
that's
to
what?
Opening up doors for young kids, man.
That's a great message. Hey, you know, you mentioned school, and one thing I was always curious about, how did you guys work school and all and all of this in your career and being musicians and artists and touring? How did you fit school in?
Well, to be honest, man, you know, school was one of those things that that was the one thing we didn't really take that serious, man, because we were like, just like any kid our age, trying to figure out a way not to do homework, you know what I'm saying? And imagine if you got a tutor, it's that much easier to figure out a way not to do your homework. Yeah, man, so we had a tutor on the road that would travel with us or whatever. Actually, I eventually got my GED, man, because basically I had a lot of catching up to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't. I had to go back and accomplish that goal, man. So I got my GED.
Nice.
So that's definitely a message that I want kids to hear, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to, like, make too light of it that we wasn't that it wasn't that serious, because school is important, and everybody can't really can't make it in the music business. So
gotcha.
Do your homework.
That's it. That's the message. That's the message. And also, too, I mean, you went on to found your own company, and so it's not like, you know, it just stopped there for you. So I think, to your point, absolutely, you know, it doesn't stop. You keep going. You know, you got to find a way to you know, handle your business, i.e. stay in school, but still follow your passion at the same time, and you definitely did that.
Exactly, man. You gotta do what's important, man.
Right.
School is important. You got to always have keeping you grounded. Because, you know, to be honest, I mean, you know, being a rapper, man, you know, that's just not something that is guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? It ain't guaranteed. You know what I mean? You can't go fill out a resume. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I mean? It's something that you got to grind at. It's a million other people trying to, you know, get into the music business. It's already a tough business to be in.
Right.
So you definitely want to have something in your life that's keeping you grounded, and school is that thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what I would say to kids or any young kids trying to get into business. We were lucky enough that we started so early, though, that, you know, we didn't have too many obligations in our life, you know what I mean? All we had to do was just do our homework, do our schoolwork, and go to the studio, you know what I'm saying? So we had that kind of time. Or whatever.
Got you. Well, hey, like I said, it's a great message to our young people. Hey, Chris, thank you for being down with the Kings. Appreciate your candidness. To our listeners, we're going to jump into the music. We're going to play Young and Strong, courtesy of Chris Smith, a.k.a. Daddy Mac of Criss Cross. Let's go.
Old school, new school, and true school on Maximum FM Hip Hop.